I want to thank you all for welcoming my wife and I to such a wonderful group of people here in Richmond, Virginia. It has been a pleasure for us to be here, to meet you and to talk with you and to share with you all the things that we've done in these last, well, the last day, actually. And it's been a pleasure, and we can't wait to come back. We can't wait to come back to really grow the ministry of Freedom in Christ in your church, to help you to become who God has called you in this area, to be the beacon of light that you need to be for a lost generation. It has been wonderful to be a part of such a unique group of people. Thank you. And we travel a lot, and we're not just saying this. You guys are very special. You're very special. You are doing the work of the ministry, and I anticipate that you're going to have a deluge of people coming to this church simply because you are sharing and experiencing the love of God in a way that's really, really attractive to people, and that's what they want. They may not know what they're looking for, but they're looking for what you have. And as you continue to deny yourself and pick up your cross and follow Christ daily, guess what? A lot of people will come. And never mind. I'll keep this microphone. So it's all right. I want to share a story before we start. And this story is about a young lady who had had some severe problems when it came to spiritual warfare. So let me just read this, and then I'll get into the details of it. She says, "I thought my story was unique, but I often wondered if anyone else had the spiritual conflicts I was suffering with. My problems began a couple of years ago. I was experiencing terrible demonic nightmares and had nights during which I felt the presence of something in my room. One night I woke up feeling like someone was choking me, and I could not speak or say the name of Jesus. I was terrified. I sought help from church leaders and pastors. They had no idea how to encourage me. Eventually, fear turned into panic, anxiety disorders, and my thoughts were so loud and destructive and frightening that I visited my primary care provider. I thought for sure she would understand my belief that this was a spiritual battle. When I expressed the idea that the enemy was attacking me, she responded by diagnosing me with bipolar disorder and told me that I would be on medication for the rest of my life. She also gave me a prescription for antidepressants and anti-anxiety meds. I was devastated. I told my husband the diagnosis, and he assured me that it wasn't true. I decided not to take the medication. I just didn't have any peace about doing that. My pastors prayed over me, but nothing changed." Read that again. "My pastors prayed over me, but nothing changed. I began Christian counseling, which helped a little bit, but it was nowhere near worth the $400 per month that I paid. When I told my Christian counselor about what was happening in my mind and my fears, she too said, 'I think it's time for medication.' It seemed like everyone thought I was crazy. No one believed that my problem was spiritual. Thankfully, I came across one of your books and read stories of people who came who could relate to me. I knew there was an answer. It was in that book that I first heard the steps to freedom in Christ. Honestly, I was afraid of the steps at first. I didn't know what to expect. But one of our pastors had recently met with Dr. Anderson and was learning how to lead people through the steps. He offered to help me, and I accepted. Going through the steps was one of the most difficult yet incredible things I ever done. I experienced a lot of interference, such as headaches and confusion, but having the Holy Spirit reveal to me all that I needed to renounce was incredible. When I prayed and asked God to bring to my mind the sins of my ancestors, I was shocked at all the things that came to my mind. I didn't even know my ancestors. I later asked my mom about these things that came into my mind during the session, and she confirmed that my family had been involved in those things. I was amazed by how the Holy Spirit brought out the truth. After going through the steps, my mind was completely silent. It was amazing. There were no nagging thoughts. I was totally at peace. I wanted to cry with joy. After that, I wasn't afraid to be alone, and the nightmares were gone. I didn't have to play the radio or television to drown out the terrible thoughts. I could sit in silence and be still. This was my very first young lady that I took through the steps of freedom in Christ, my very first one. And after that, I was hooked. I was hooked because I saw this young lady go from being bound in darkness to being set free. One thing you can't do is you cannot pray away spiritual or emotional bondage. You cannot pray it away. You have to forgive and renounce and ask the Holy Spirit to help you walk through the painful memories that have happened to you in your past. When I took this young lady through the steps of freedom in Christ, I didn't know what I was doing. But I didn't have to know what I was doing because the Spirit of God knew what he was doing. It wasn't me that was helping her to get free. It was Christ and the Holy Spirit helping her to become free. And he wanted for her to experience the joy of her salvation, which she hadn't experienced in a long time. He wanted her to experience the presence of God in a way that she hadn't experienced it before. And the reason that I share with you that story is because I believe there are people in this audience that can do the same thing over and over and over again as you walk through learning how to help yourself, number one, and help others find freedom in Christ. It is possible, and your church is on a great trajectory to helping people in this community to become set free. It is a beautiful thing to see. God is using your church to be a beacon of light in this world where there's darkness rampant. But where darkness is, light can be even greater. And it's a great thing to be here to watch you guys. And I'm partnering with you to say, okay, I am going to be in your back pockets to help you as much as we can to make sure you do what you can to help other people find freedom in Christ. What we do, my wife and I, is we help people on a daily basis. We have a waiting list right now of people who are needing help because there's so much darkness in this world that need light. And we have the beautiful thing is we have the answer. We have the answer. Did you hear that this girl was diagnosed with bipolar disorder and was given anxiety pills and depression pills? Now, I'm not saying that there's no room for that, because there is. There's room for that, because some people's thoughts and anxiety is such a level where they can't even deal with life that they have to take those anxiety meds in order to function on a daily basis. But when you diagnose and help a person with those type of disorders without dealing with their spiritual condition, it's only medicating something without dealing with the root issues. And God wants you to deal with the root issues and not just medicate something. Medication numbs you, but it doesn't solve the problem. And what God wants to do, he wants to resolve your personal conflicts. He didn't want to just medicate your personal conflicts. And medicating those conflicts is not going to solve the issue. You're medicating a demon. That's all you're doing. The demon will come back, and he'll come back sometimes, seven times, even worse than the first time that you deal with it. And so you have to learn how to walk through these issues in a way that's going to help others and help yourself simply because God is, listen, God is the answer for our problems when it comes to our emotional and spiritual conditions. God is the answer. He's not a answer. He is the answer. And because he is the answer, he knows exactly how and what to do. And the reason that she says she didn't know her ancestors, and she didn't, you know, she didn't have to know her ancestors. God knew her ancestors. And when God knew her ancestors, he knew exactly what path that they were on for a long time. And he knew exactly what to point out to say, okay, shut this door because the enemy's using this. Shut this door because the enemy's using this. And once she got those doors shut, guess what happened? The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. She felt the peace of God. Now, I wanted to just simply have conversation with you tonight. I wanted to walk with you. Listen. With a room with about, I guess, 150 people here, maybe. I'm bad at numbers right now. There's bound to be questions that you have to ask simply concerning this ministry of Freedom in Christ Ministries. But before I get to that, I want to show you some things on this whiteboard so that you can learn. Like Neil told me, he said, Daryl, you can do this anywhere. Psychologists don't know what you know. When he said that to me, I said, come on, Dr. Anson, you know. Come on, honey. You just want this black dude to help you out. That's what you're doing. He said, no, seriously. He said, they don't know what I'm teaching you. He's done studies all over the country, and he's been all over the world with his ministry. And he says, you can do this. You can do this, Daryl. And I finally took him up on this offer to believe that I could do it. And I've been doing it for the last, since 2008. So it's 2019 now. So however many years that is. And I want to challenge you not only to find your freedom if you haven't found it yet, but also that you can do what Dr. Anderson taught me to do. You can help your people find freedom like they've never experienced before. And that story is in the second edition of Bondage Breaker that Dr. Anderson wrote. And if you want to get that book, it's a great book to read so that you can have some information on how to really walk people through the steps of freedom. So what I want to do at this time is just walk you through what I talked about this morning, unless you have any questions. Anybody got any questions right now? You know, I want to talk to you a couple of minutes. If you don't have any questions, y'all ready for this? So how many parts are there to you as a person? What are the three? Oh, let me hear that one more time. I heard little tongues going on right there. Say it again. Spirit, soul, and body. All right? Spirit, soul, and body. Why is it important to have that spirit, soul, and body in that order? Well, because if you don't listen to your spirit, you will naturally acquiesce to your body. You will naturally listen to the functions of your body, which is your five senses. Because you live in a world where you're used to five senses. So your spirit, your soul, and body, they all have their different functions, but they function together as one unit. And as they function together as one unit, that's what makes you alive on this earth today. The Bible says in James, when the spirit is absent from the body, you're dead. So your body needs your spirit. But if your spirit is not alive in Christ, you're dead. Because your spirit needs to be connected with God the Father in order to be alive. And if you don't have that connection with God the Father in your spirit, the Bible says that your life in the spirit is dead, but your life in the body is alive. Make sense? But as soon as you give your life to Christ and you have that relationship with Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, what happens to your spirit? Your spirit becomes alive in Christ. You are now connected to God through your spirit, and your body becomes alive, and you're no longer dead. So you're alive two different ways. You're alive spiritually because you're connected to God, and you're alive physically because your spirit is connected to your body. Makes sense, right? And so since your spirit is connected to God, what did God have to do to make your spirit connected to him? He had to forgive you of your sin. And the way he forgave you of your sin is he sent Jesus Christ to die for your sins so that you could now be alive in Christ. And now you are alive in Christ because Jesus himself has bore your sin and my sin, and he's taken it upon himself. There's not one sin in this earth that he has not forgiven you for. Past, present, or future. All the sins that you have ever committed, all the sins that you committed in the past, all the sins that you committed right now in the present, and all the sins that you commit in the future have already been taken care of by Jesus Christ himself. That's good news by itself. Now, not only did he forgive you of your sins, but the Bible says, once he forgave you of your sins, you are now a new, what? Creation in Christ. Now, watch this. I heard that scripture all my life, but I never understood what that meant. The Bible says, I'm a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, the question is, I used to, in the black church, we used to sing, I looked at my hands and they looked new. I looked at my feet and they did too. I know some of y'all don't know that song. I never really could really get that. I was like, man, my hands don't look new. I still got the same scratches I had before I came to Christ. My feet don't look new. So somebody's lying. There's a lie somewhere. There's a dead monkey on the line somewhere. My hands don't look new and my feet don't look new. So what's new? I never could understand it. And then your soul, like your spirit, has three parts, which is your what? Mind, emotions. Don't kill me over my handwriting. And your will. You're made of three parts and your soul is made of three parts. They sang that song, I looked at my hands and they looked new. I looked at my feet and they did too. And then they said, your soul is new. Now, that ain't true either. Because I still have the same nasty thoughts that go through my mind when I became a Christian. I still feel nasty sometimes. I feel those emotions of fear and anger and frustration. I feel those emotions of anger. I feel those emotions of sadness. Well, I felt that before I came to Christ. Well, I still know how to choose things that are apart from God. Now, if my body is alive, but it ain't new, and my soul is connected to God and it's not new, there's only one thing that's new. What is that? Your spirit. Now, your spirit is new. I'm going to ask this question, okay? I want you to think very carefully before you answer the question that I ask you. Okay? You got it? Okay. If God says that I'm alive in Christ, he has forgiven me of all my sins. He has passed me from death to life. He has given me a brand new creation in him. And I now have new life in him. Am I perfect? Say that one more time. I need to hear it. Okay. I'm asking one more time. God has made me a new creation in Christ. I'm a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. If I am new in Christ and I have been forgiven of my sins, if I am new in Christ and I have been forgiven of my sins, the question is, am I perfect? And you answered the question. You said what? You said no. Okay. Now, let me tell you what I didn't ask you. I did not ask you if your body was perfect, did I? Because your body obviously is not perfect. That's number one. I did not ask you if your personality was perfect, right? I didn't ask you that question. I asked you if you are perfect. If you are a spirit that lives in a body that has a soul, I asked the question, are you new? I didn't ask you if your body was new. I didn't ask you if your soul was new. I asked you if you were new. If you are new, who are you? Are you a spirit or are you your body? Now, I know it's messing with your head right now. I know the first question that you want to ask me is, if I'm new, if I am perfect, then why am I still struggling with all this stuff? Well, here's the answer. The answer is found in Hebrews chapter 10. And I want my wife to read this particular verse. You've probably read this verse 1,000 times, and I want you to look at it yourself. And if you can find it on the teleprompter, it would be great. If you look at Hebrews chapter 10, verses, we'll start at verse 11. I want you to look at this. I want you to listen to this scripture, okay?
Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins.
Stop. Okay, what was the role of the priest? To offer sacrifices on a daily basis so that people's sins would be forgiven, right? Keep going.
But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice.
Stop. This priest, who is this priest? This is Jesus. Jesus is replacing the sacrifices of the priest that had to do it on a daily basis. But now he's saying, okay, all you guys got to be put to the side. I am now going to take your place and sacrifice for you. So what did he say? Keep going.
For sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. Because by one sacrifice, he has made perfect.
He has made perfect
those who are being made holy.
He has made perfect those who are being made whole. What has he made perfect? Your spirit. He has made your spirit perfect, but he is making perfect your soul and your body. So when someone asks you, am I perfect? He or she is not asking you if your soul is perfect. Your soul is being made perfect on a daily basis. Your body is going to be made perfect when you get your brand new body from heaven. But for now, the Bible says that you, because you are alive in Christ, you are now, you have been. Have been means it's past tense. If you have asked Jesus to be your personal Lord and Savior, you have already been made perfect. Who is the you that I'm talking about? Your spirit. Your spirit is already made new in Christ when you accepted him as your personal Lord and Savior. When your spirit gets rid of your body, your spirit is not going to change any more than it already is right now. Kind of messes you up, doesn't it? It's all about your perspective. It's how you look at yourself. When I say look at yourself, it's about you looking at yourself through the eyes of Christ. I didn't say that you were made perfect. Your soul didn't say that you were made perfect. Who said that you were made perfect? Chapter 11. The word of God says that you have already been made perfect right now. It's not in the future. You are perfect when? Now. You are perfect right now. Your spirit already is made perfect because you are alive in Christ right now. And since you are a perfect child of God, what does that mean? What does it mean? That you are now, because of who you are, you are a saint right now. That's who you are. You're chosen right now. You're joint heir right now. You don't have to work for this. It's already yours. It's already a benefit of you being in the kingdom. Mess with your head, doesn't it? It's a beautiful thing. Not only are you a joint heir, but you are, the Bible calls, righteous, which means right standing. You are in right standing with God right now. You don't have to wait to be in right standing with God. Now listen, you, because you have accepted Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior, guess what happens? You, listen, and this is, you need to read your Bible before I say this. You don't have to pray to be in right standing with God when you ask God or Jesus to be your personal Lord and Savior. When you ask Jesus to be your personal Lord and Savior, you are, at that moment, you are righteous before God. Throw a shoe at me. Throw a rock at me. Right now, if you are a believer, you are what the Bible calls right with God. To those who call on his name, to believe on him, he gave them the right to become children of God. John chapter 1, verse 12. You know that word right means? That's not a religious term. It's not a religious term. It's actually a constitutional statement. You belong to the kingdom of God. You are in right standing with God right now. You are joint heirs with him right now. You are chosen. You are a saint. What's saint mean? A holy one. You are holy right now. Why am I pounding this in right now? Because we have been taught to think out of here rather than out of here. We've been taught to look at our behavior rather than our rights. We've been taught to look at what we do right and wrong rather than what he has done right. He has made you right right now. It's a beautiful thing. You mean to tell me I don't have to pray to be right? Exactly. You are right, therefore you pray. You mean to tell me I don't have to read my Bible to be right? Correct. You are right, therefore you read your Bible. You mean to tell me I don't have to go to church to be right? I'm saying that. You go to church because you are right. You don't go to church to get right. I'm already right, therefore I go to church. It's a beautiful thing. Who did the work on the cross, you or him? He did it. When he said, "Tetelestai," it is finished, that's what he meant it. He said, it's done. All that we have to do is believe that it's done. And once we believe that it's done, guess what happens? Oh, man. Once we believe it, guess what? You learn to understand who you really are. Once you learn to understand who you really are, and now that's a growth process. Because it takes some time to learn to understand who you are. Now, here's the deal. I'm going to show you something about your mind and how your mind works and how the enemy can work in your mind and how he really tricks you to believing all this junk. There's a psychologist that says that, this is kind of crazy. 77,000 thoughts go through your mind on a daily basis. 77,000 thoughts go through your mind on a daily basis. That's a whole lot of thoughts that go through your mind. Whether it be through television or radio or me speaking to you or you listening to something that you don't supposed to or listening to something that you should be listening to, 77,000 thoughts go through your mind every day. Now, let's just take one thought. Let's take the thought that I am stupid. Okay. I'm stupid. All right, let's take that one thought. That's just one out of the 77,000. All right, now if you grow up and your parents tell you you're worth nothing, you can never amount to anything in the rest of your life, those thoughts, and they tell you I'm stupid all the time, is going to affect your thinking. Now, once it affects your thinking, what happens to your emotions once it affects your thinking? If you think you're stupid, you're going to feel stupid. Your thinking and your feelings are connected. Your thoughts, the Bible says, to take every thought captive to make it obedient to Christ. Why do you do that? Because what you think is going to affect your emotional state. If you think that you are stupid and you're being told that you're stupid over a period of time, what happens to your emotional state? You're going to feel stupid. You're going to feel like you're not worthy. You're going to feel like you're not adequate. You're going to feel like you're not a nobody. If I think I'm stupid, I'm going to feel stupid. If I feel stupid, guess what I will do? I'm going to choose stupid. I'm going to choose things that are going to align with how I am thinking. If I think it, I'm going to feel it. If I feel it, I'm going to choose it. If I choose it, I'm going to think it. If I think it, I'm going to feel it. If I feel it, I'm going to choose it. And it becomes a vicious cycle until somebody says, wait a minute, stop. God never chooses or says that you are stupid. He calls you brilliant. He says that you have the mind of Christ. He says you have something besides stupidity. Now, listen, hear me say this. Whether it comes from your mom or your teacher or your dad or your friends, this word, stupid, is not of God's vocabulary. It's of Satan. It's his vocabulary used maybe from your parents, maybe from your school teacher. For me, it was my dad. The word that he used a lot was, you're dumb as Dora. And I thought that way for a long time. Now, thank God he's not that way now. But when I was a kid, very impressionable, it made a really impact on my mind, which made an impact on my emotions, which made an impact on my choices. But now, I know better. I know I'm a child of God. And because I'm a child of God, guess what? I don't have to think this anymore. Because the source of this is here. The source of God is you're created in his image and his likeness. You're a wonderful child of God. You're created in Psalms 139. You're beautifully and wonderfully made. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. You are the best creation that God has made you to be. That's who you are.
So in the class, you'll learn what it means to take every thought captive. And
I have extra minutes too, babe. I know that was 30 minutes. I got 45. Thank you.
So, really quickly, when a thought comes into your mind, you know, you're going to feel it. And in the class, you'll learn what it means when you feel whatever it is that you're feeling. That's not sin. So if I have a negative thought that comes into my mind, so if I'm thinking about the poor choices that I made in the past and I feel sad, that's not a sin, okay? So what I have to do is, why do I feel sad? What's going on right now? Like sometimes you wake up in the morning, you're just heavy, and you don't even know why you're heavy. You're like, you're already discouraged, you're already frustrated, and you haven't even gotten out of the bed yet. Like, what is that? Okay, that's because I've got all these thoughts going into my mind, and I haven't done anything with them. So I'm saying, oh, I got to go to work. Oh, I got to take care of the kids. Oh, I got to do, whoa. Wait, let me just slow down. Let me analyze what I'm feeling. I'm feeling frustrated. Stephanie, why are you feeling frustrated? Oh, because I'm thinking about all the things that I have to do. Then I can choose to submit those things unto the Lord and say, okay, you have given me, your word says, you have given me everything that I need for this life and for godliness. So I can walk through this day triumphantly the way that you have called me to walk through it. Make sense? So then I'm on a different trajectory than negative thought, feel sad, choose bad, negative thought, feel sad, choose bad. No, now I'm learning what it means to walk through my emotions in the healing part of my emotions and what God has for me.
You know, the Bible says this about that. The Bible says hope deferred makes the heart sick. When you have an empty thought that goes through your mind or a thought that makes you feel hopeless, that's where anxiety and depression come from. Your words are very, very powerful, and they can affect how you go throughout your day. And think about this. If you don't deal with the pain of your past and that thought of that pain is permeating your mind on a daily basis, guess what happens to you emotionally? You go through depression. That's just a natural It's a natural outcome of what you're thinking about. But if you deal with that thought, guess what? You don't have to be depressed. You don't have to. You choose depression. I know that's a deep statement. Spiritually, You are overcomers. You have overcome. And God wants you to understand that. You don't have to allow your life circumstances to dictate to you what truth is. You allow God to dictate to you what truth is.
Okay, I want to show you something else really quick, because I know we're almost out of time. What happens with all of us is we have previous life history. Before we came to Jesus, and even in Christ, we've made poor decisions. So we have previous life history, and out of that, we'll have primary emotions. So, for example, I was raised in the hood. That means, like, in the ghetto. That means where there was gangs and violence and all of that, okay? That's where I was raised. So, for me, in my previous life history, if I go to a restaurant, for the most part, I like to sit with my face facing the door. Why? Because I've seen horrible things happen, and now in this world, it's happening everywhere. It used to be that it was just in the ghetto, but now it's happening everywhere. So my primary emotion would be fear. I go into a restaurant, it's like, ah, what's going to happen? And then what I would have to do is right in here, I need to evaluate, what am I feeling? Why am I afraid? Why am I scared right now? Oh, because I'm thinking that that person looks dangerous. Or I'm thinking that, does that person have a gun? Or I'm thinking, can I get out of here? Or I'm thinking, where's the door? Okay? So my primary emotion is fear, but then the scripture says, hey, Steph, God hasn't given you a spirit of fear. So what do I do? Do I stay in the fear of my previous life history? Or do I analyze right here, which is called your mental evaluation? So I think about it and say, okay, what's really going on right now? And then that takes me to my secondary emotion. So in here, you guys are a beautiful group of people that are navigating life together, that are doing church together, that are learning to navigate different cultures, navigating how each person understands scripture. Amen. And you could automatically, in previous life history, this is the way we always done it, so this is the way I always want to do it. Or, oh, okay, so she said something I never even thought about before. So instead of me emotionally saying, no, this is the way it needs to be immediately, okay, let me listen. Let me see. Okay, I got that. I never even looked at that scripture, that passage like that before. I see that because it's coming through a different filter. Does that make sense? Okay. So in our life, every day, we have to stop and mentally evaluate this primary emotion. We immediately feel something. Immediately. We go to, oh, this is the way it is. Okay, nope, let me slow down. This is probably a trigger for something in my past. Let me mentally evaluate and get to my secondary emotion, which is, okay, I can't have peace in this. I don't have to be afraid for my children just because that happened to me. I don't have to be afraid that I'm going to lose my marriage because my parents' marriage didn't work. I don't have to be afraid of fill in the blank. And I can walk in the peace that God has for me. That comes out of us knowing our identity in Christ. That mm-hmm. comes out of knowing that he has good things for me. That comes out of me being healed from the emotional wounds from my past. And you'll get all that in the class.
Yeah.
We're running through it really fast right now, but the class, it'll take you through every lesson where you can get to the other side of it. And here's the thing. You don't have to be in a hard place right now to go through the class. I think everybody should.
Yeah, yeah.
Daryl and I, we do it all the time.
All the time.
Sometimes we'll just stop and go, hey, babe, we need to go through the steps. Because life continues to happen. So I still get hurt. I still get offended. And sometimes I just need to sit and pray through the prayers. The prayers are amazing.
So we just gave you a quick bird's eye view of what the class is going to teach you as you go through these courses. And my encouragement to you is everybody that's in here, go through it. Go through it. You're going to need it. And we just gave you a quick clip of the battle of your mind. Satan wants to, his desire is to steal, kill, and destroy you. And if you don't know how to fight the schemes of the enemy, he will get you. He's been here over 6,000 years, maybe a little longer, and you've only been here less than 100.
35.
Okay. So he knows. He knows. He's the best psychologist on this planet. He knows your behaviors. He knows how you function. He knows how you work. So therefore, who needs to outwit the best psychologist in the world? The Bible calls him the counselor. the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit gives greater counsel than the best psychologist in the world. So the Holy Spirit knows everything that there is to know about you, and he knows how you function. That, therefore, the Bible says you need to be led and guided by the Spirit of God so that you can learn how to walk in the Spirit of God. You have no excuses. We have no excuses. So if you want to see my face for the next 10 weeks, go to the class, and you will see me every week for the next 10 weeks when this class starts, so that you can get a fresh taste of myself and my wife taking you through these steps, so that you can learn the importance of helping yourself to become free in Christ and helping others to become free in Christ. Amen?
No, you guys are great. Can y'all hang for a minute?
Yeah.
Can we just say thank you so much to Daryl, Stephanie? Thank you. I especially appreciated watching you think through how to tell us what the hood was. That was helpful, I think. It was the hood, that is the ghetto. That is, it was good. I love that. I love that. I wish you would. I wish you would. She teaches me a lot. Church, I just think what the strength of what you guys have brought us is just a truth, just a clear presentation of this is the way God has set this up, and the choices we get to choose to where are we going to live. Mm-hmm. We get to choose mm-hmm. that, and what a privilege God gives us, where He really will set us free, and yet we get to stand in that. And so. Yeah. That's why I think we have said, and you've heard our pastor say, we believe that freedom in Christ is something for every Christian, for the new Christian, for the one who's been a Christian for 50 years. And what's amazing is in this church we have both of those. Isn't that cool? And so it's just really want to encourage you to consider that. I do want to, before I share about that, I just would love to pray for Stephanie and Daryl. Is that okay? Just as a church, just to say thank you, because they get to walk with people through this, and they get to walk with people and through situations, I'm sure, that are very dark and very confusing, mm-hmm. and they need the Spirit of God to lead them, the great counselor. So can you just extend your hands to them, and we're just going to pray over them together. Lord Jesus, I just thank you so much, Lord, that you know exactly who is needed for this generation and for this world, Lord, to be messengers of your light and messengers of your hope. Lord, I thank you that though they never could have traced out the path that you've drawn for their lives, Lord, you had it drawn out, traced out perfectly. And we just thank you for that. Lord, I thank you that you have brought them together, Lord, to be voices of your truth, voices of your guidance. And Lord, we just pray that your Holy Spirit would anoint both of them. Yes. Lord, that they would be able to fulfill the call of God on their life. They would be able to fulfill the purposes that you have destined for them long before. Lord, we pray that as they face darkness, Lord, they would not face it in fear. Yes. But Lord, they would have courage to face the darkness and declare and speak the light in Jesus' name. Yes. Lord, we pray for those people that they will encounter this year. And in the next coming weeks, in the next coming months, who, Lord, they are so confused, and it's such a web. Lord, I thank you that your word does pierce through all of that. And I just pray that in those moments, your Spirit would speak. Yes, your Spirit, Lord, would come and guide them. Your Spirit would come and awaken them to those truths. And Lord, we just pray over their family. We pray over their home. Lord, we pray over their marriage. Lord, we pray that there would just be such a sweet sensitivity to your Spirit just in their family, Lord, an ability to choose the right side, choose the side of walking in their identity in Christ. Lord, we pray that for their kids, Lord, that they, Stephanie and Daryl, would be able to see their kids choose this, see their grandchildren choose this, Lord, and watch, Lord, you truly establish a pattern of freedom. Lord, thank you that you say in your word, your promise is to bless the generations because of the choices that are made today. And I pray that over this family, that every sin and curse from the past would be broken. Yes. Lord, and that the generations for will be free in Christ. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we just thank the Lord one more time?